back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, artists and repertoire divisions, A&R, of record companies would prowl around the music scene, looking for the next big thing. These were the men that controlled the gates into the world of music. These were the companies that owned music. With the advent of illegal streaming came a breakdown. Children in the 2000s grew up listening to free music with hundreds of genre mixes on their computers, thus triggering the downfall of the music industry. With the advent of powerful and legal streaming services such as Spotify, Pandora, and Apple Music, there's seemingly a brighter day, especially as headlines parade titles such as, quote, "Streaming Saved Music." But it's not so simple. Artists and A&R have clashed since long before the Wu-Tang Gang called them out for it in a song. These folks once held all the power, and artists resented them. Now, with the supposed elimination of the middleman, is music owned and distributed solely by the creator? No. Now, for most successful artists, streaming services own music alongside record companies. According to the terms and conditions for Artist of Spotify, Part 6, quote, "Spotify may, but has no obligation to, monitor, review, or edit user content," end quote. This means they do have a right to edit content, which means they control how an artist's piece of music is perceived, played, or yes, edited. They control the music. Artists, A&R, and record labels have to agree to their terms to proceed putting their work on the biggest platform and biggest curator of the world's music known today. Despite all this, Spotify still struggles to make decent profits. They hold the keys and all the weight of political responsibility to marketing music. So how is music going to be saved? Here are three possible answers. So some say the strange and confusing technology known as blockchain, the concept that got Bitcoin going, is the answer. The idea is that this technology, which is apolitical and atheistic toward music, will be able to sort through and sort out all the talent. Music expert Bobby Owinski disagrees. In Forbes, he writes, "When it comes to a sales-based blockchain, first of all, the cow is already out of the barn when it comes to price. People are now used to getting their music for free and are just becoming accustomed to paying a monthly fee for it. Getting them to pay a flat fee again for an album, a format quickly declining in popularity, by the way, or a single is just not going to happen on a mass scale, unless there is a feature or a value add involved that no one has thought of yet." This shoots down the whole blockchain is going to save the business argument right there. The next argument presented in favor of blockchain is it will eliminate the middleman, as if that's a good thing. Does the artist or songwriter receive a large enough piece of the gross revenue for their efforts? Definitely not. Do most artists have the expertise to exploit their music? I'd venture to say that 99% plus of them don't. And given the choice, almost every artist would prefer someone specialized handle that exploitation, so they could just continue doing what they do best, creating music. Middlemen play a necessary purpose in all of this." End quote. So there's still a need for a middleman, at least according to Owinski. That eliminates blockchain, as blockchain can't find talent, supposedly, and can't save the music business because people aren't going to pay for it. So how can the middleman service be tweaked for a modern world? Perhaps by being art himself. Gamification is a huge, huge segment and word in the app business, and now possibly the music business, thanks to David Bullock and Mitch Bustamante. The two are creating an app called World Famous, a music industry simulation mobile game, which allows users to virtually navigate challenges any real-life artist faced on the way to stardom. Quote, mobile gaming is in the commanding seat of the App Store, claiming 82% of all app revenue, reaching $48.3 billion in 2017, Bullock tells Billboard in their latest issue. He states, of the top 200 grossing games in the App Store, none of them fall under the music genre, end quote. So by capturing people who want to be virtual A&R reps, virtual stars, could the game save A&R and the music business itself? Possibly. Or it could recreate the game. Personal branding is a huge part of the music industry, and much of it is transferred online to social media. By capturing the public's affection for fame, the game could boost songs that users use to rap battle with each other, as well as include music in countless other gaming scenarios. This is a great win for music. If the game, releasing in June 2018, can take root in the massive gaming sector of smartphone applications, hey, we might see some new music pop up through it. Back in the day, A&R reps would go into crowded bars and try to find the next great act, someone unique enough to offer a different voice to the radio, but commercial enough to make them a lot of money. Today, an algorithm can scan thousands of songs a day and run them against a machine for playback, against a genre, a population group, even a certain age. Then tastemakers can take these songs and run them through playlists. They can measure how often a song is played and promote it onto the main page of a service like Spotify. According to Music Business Worldwide, in 2018's music business, playlisting is an essential A&R tool in itself. Spotify's curators and algorithms drive streams, and streams drive commercial value. On Instrumental's platform, we can see that there are currently over 8,000 influential playlists in existence on Spotify, by which we mean those with 10,000 followers or more. Within these playlists, as we stand today, there are 400,000 plus artists, and 45% of them are not on major labels, i.e., they are on indie labels or are self-releasing artists. So that's 20,000 new tracks a day, many of which are being added to 8,000 influential playlists, harnessing 400,000 artists, of which nearly half, circa 180,000, are independent, and that's just on Spotify. So 45% of the major label artist, or somebody that would originally be considered a major label artist, aren't even on labels. That's how powerful Spotify is, and that's how much of the middleman they kind of have eliminated. Scouting is the most important tool A&R reps have, but they can outsource a lot of their searching to tools like IBM's Watson and other machines. In addition, they can augment reality and play out scenarios with certain artists and songs to see how they would do in public before even being made public. Therefore, A&R and AR will be a team in the music business, not competitors, according to this study. With Spotify wanting to be the entire R&D department for the music industry, apps like World Famous and Musical.ly wanting to turn the industry itself into a massive game, artists becoming their own labels and human music curation coming back into style, there's bound to be more disruption than ever to the music business. But it is still a big business, $16 billion business in fact, taking in massive amounts of sales dollars from advertising, concert tickets, and merchandise each year. Music will change, but it looks to stay, and it looks to stay rich. The question is, who are all the winnings going to? Are they going to the artist or to the massive streaming services? Will music be gamified or even be made into some sort of virtual or augmented reality? Who really knows? I would love to know what your thoughts are on the industry and on how it will change and even improve or become worse. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.